fantasy and the terrors of the unknown. Because it is frankly, or if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, he urges you humbly but sincerely, turn off your radio now.
This is The Horror. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for joining me this Saturday for another old-time radio horror show. This one comes from Beyond Midnight. It's titled The Locked Door, aired sometime in the late 1960s.
Pause 9. Curiosity allegedly kills cats. Why this fate should befall our feline friends in particular is beyond me. I do know, though, that if a bedroom door is locked, I cannot rest until it is opened. Perhaps you feel like that, too. Davy Snowden did. He had a few ideas about what might lie on the other side of a certain locked door, but he could never have guessed with any accuracy. You see, a mere turn of a handle sent him on a journey into and beyond midnight.
Biotex, the new soak and pre-wash powder, presents Beyond Midnight by Michael McCabe.
On the hillside. It had the dark, sullen look of all empty houses, but size also made it seem tragic. It was four stories high, the topmost floor overhanging the entrance and supported on spidery white columns. It was a house built in an era of opulence, and then deserted by its owners for smaller, racier houses in more fashionable sections of the countryside. Lighted in the glare from the car. They embraced and kissed, and the girl fumbled in her purse for a key. The boy went back and made the car dark again.
Hey, wait for me. Wait for me. Oh, here we are.
Hunting light sources and finding them, the front room blazed into view, but the gloom of the old house was only partly dispelled.
Oh, will you just look at the wallpaper? It's positively scurfy.
Well, it looks different, huh? How long has it been since you were here?
Yes, it's almost 8 years. I was 9 when Father died. And that's when we moved out. We've always rented the place every summer, though. Rented it out, you know? Just smell it.
You rented it out. That's why the lights are still on, I guess.
Davy, maybe we shouldn't have come here.
Oh, Bonnie.
He grinned. It was an appealing, crooked grin, placing lean dimples on the smooth plane of his cheeks. He was 22, and the best-looking boy that had ever come into Bonnie Daniels' life. And now, he was even more than that.
Davy. Let's go explore.
Right, okay. Coffee stairs here.
From room to room and floor to floor they went, racing down corridors, giggling at ancestral portraits, playing hide-and-seek in the labyrinth of upstairs bedrooms. They made the old house shake with their exuberance and ring with their laughter. It was on the fourth, on topmost floor, that Davy found the door that wouldn't yield.
You go house. I'm a ghost as just a little old
gunk.
Oh, I can't. I have to sing down. Oh, and what? Because I'm tired. And no strength. And oh.
Hey, this is queer. All the others are open. Oh, brother. This one's really stuck.
No. No, it isn't stuck. It's locked. It's always been locked.
Oak. That's what this is made of, okay? Oak. What's behind it?
I don't know. It's been locked since ever I can remember. Daddy once told me never to go near this room, and once I remember my mother talking about it. She was...
Yeah.
She was sort of nervous, I recall.
Sounds mysterious. What say we break it in?
Oh, no, Davy. No. We can't do that.
Well, gee, aren't you curious? Maybe it's full of hanging women, like Bluebeard's castle. Or I tell you what, maybe it's where the family jewels are hidden.
Let's leave it alone, Davy. I was always scared of that door. They don't!
Well, what's it locked for? There's got to be something pretty valuable in there. Listen, for all you know, there may be money in there. I mean, your father left the house to you, didn't he? I mean, if there's something valuable in there, it belongs to you, doesn't it?
Davy, you promised not to talk about money.
I'm not talking about your mother's money.
But the house isn't really mine. Not yet. Well, not till I'm 21, and that's 2 years yet, Davy.
Don't be technical.
Davy?
Okay, if that's how you feel. We have plenty of time anyway. Hey, come here.
No, please, Davy. Let's go downstairs.
Oh, sure, let's go. Come on.
They went to the first floor, and Davy, with dramatic gestures, pulled all the dust sheets from the furniture, and then he went to the basement and returned with kindling. The fire took a long time to get going. A city boy, Davy was inexpert. Finally, though, warmth was induced, and they pulled the sofa close and curled into each other's arms.
Come on, kitten. Time to go to bed. You're asleep. You always fall asleep. Hey, what the... Hey, we got company. No, wait.
It's Mother.
Mother... It's all right.
Mother, it's all right. You're hurting me.
All right, is it? I suppose you're David Snowden. I've heard about you, Mr. Snowden. Well, thank heavens I had the sense to think of this place when Bonnie didn't show up at home.
You have it all wrong. Davy, tell her.
I understand everything. I was afraid something like this might happen as soon as Bonnie started mentioning you in her letters from school. Get your things, Bonnie. We're going home.
Mrs. Daniels.
I don't want to hear...
We're married, Mrs. Daniels.
It's true. We were married in Elkton this afternoon.
You can't be. You're underage.
Not in Elkton. 19's fine in Elkton. You can't do anything, Mother. Please, try to understand.
Oh... I understand, all right. I went through a dozen Davies when I was your age. All the handsome boys who thought I was the catch of the season. Even if I had braces on my teeth and a bad complexion. Oh, Bonnie. Bonnie, my poor Bonnie.
I love Bonnie, Mrs. Daniels.
I suppose you have no money.
Mother!
No. My family were immigrants. My father was a freight dispatcher till he died. My mother's alive, but I don't even know where. I haven't any kind of a family background, Mrs. Daniels, but I love Bonnie.
Why? You heard, Mr. Snowden. Why?
Why? You can't explain something like that.
She's a plain girl. You block. She's plain. What does a handsome boy like you want to marry my daughter? Do you think I'm stupid?
I love her, and that's all there is, and there's nothing you...
Oh, but you're not very bright. There's everything in the world I can do about it. I intend having this marriage annulled immediately.
Oh,
We won't let you do that, Mrs. Daniels.
You're going home now, Bonnie. I want you to come with me.
I won't.
Don't make it any worse than it is now.
I won't. Davy, tell her I'm not going.
You see how it is, Mrs. Daniels?
Yeah, I see how it is. You will regret this girl. Mark my words.
I can't live without Davy. And if you break this up, I'll kill myself, I swear.
Don't talk nonsense. A heart doesn't break. It withers. That's what I don't want you to find out.
I will. I mean it. I'll kill myself.
It's a lousy hole, and you know it. I'm ashamed to have to bring you here to two rooms downtown.
Oh, don't worry, Davy. We'll make it nice. You'll see. There's something else. More important now, Davy. Can she really do what she says?
I don't know. I'll have to talk to a lawyer.
Because I couldn't stand it if she did, Davy.
Your mother loves you. She wouldn't hurt you.
Davy, tell me the truth. Do you think I'm plain?
I think you're beautiful.
Tell me the truth, Davy. Do you think I'm plain, Davy? Do you? Tell me the truth, Davy. Do you think I'm plain, Davy? Do you? Tell me the truth, Davy.
Now, an effective spray-on furniture polish that gives a wax shine instantly. Johnson's Pledge. Just spray on, and your duster becomes a magnet. Fix up every speck of dust in seconds. Pledge dusts, cleans, deep waxes quickly, easily. And new, deeper wax formula Pledge will protect your furniture longer. Buy Johnson's Pledge Aerosol today.
Soak, soak, that's all you have to do. Soak, soak, just for an hour or two you'll find things look as good as new when you use new Biotex.
With amazing new Biotex, the stubbornest stains will vanish. Yes, vanish clean away. Just by soaking your laundry overnight in cold water, or for an hour or two in warm water, or by pre-washing it quickly in your washing machine. Get amazing new Biotex today.
Davy? What happened?
I went to Hellinger and Dow's. Father, an old fraternity pal of mine, works there.
Well?
Bonnie, it doesn't look so good. The lawyer thinks your mother can run us through a ringer. By the time she's through with us, I'll probably be arrested for kidnapping you over the state lines. Looks pretty hopeless, Captain.
It can't be, Davy. Maybe if you talk to her...
She won't give me a chance. She's made up her mind that all I want is her lousy money.
Well, what if there wasn't any money? What if I signed away all the rights to the money my father left me? That would make her believe... That would make her believe us, wouldn't it?
That's kind of drastic, Bonnie. I mean, the money's yours when you come of age. I mean, you're entitled to it.
I don't care about the money.
Sure, but there has to be another way. There has to be.
Davy.
What?
You don't care about the money, do you?
Do I care about your money, Bonnie?
Because if I thought...
What,
Davy?
What kind of a question is that to ask your husband?
Well, you better give me some kind of answer, Davy.
Have I acted as if all I want is your money? Oh, sure. That's what your old lady thinks.
I want my mother to be wrong. More than anything else in the world, I want my mother to be wrong, Davy. Say it, lover. Please, Davy.
Listen, I got an idea. It's a crazy idea, and I won't blame you if you don't go along with it.
What is it?
You remember what you said, what you told your mother up at the house about you killing yourself?
Yes, but what are you talking about?
Look, she didn't believe you, of course. Nobody believes you when you talk wild like that, but if anything, it'd make her realize that you really love me. I mean, that this marriage was really important to you. Listen, Bonnie, don't get me wrong. I mean, what would your mother think if she thought you were really serious about killing yourself? Wouldn't that make her change her mind in a hurry?
Why, I suppose it would. You can't fool about like that, Davy. Well, we couldn't fool her about a thing.
Look,
like...
if you really tried to commit suicide, Bonnie, only you didn't try too hard.
How could I do such a thing?
Well, there's a couple of ways. A couple. Gas, for instance. I mean, we could fix up a phony thing with the gas. Kitten, don't look like that. We'll just forget the whole thing.
No. Go on, Davy. I'm listening.
Well, maybe the easiest way would be with poison. Might be more convincing, even, because I'd have to get a doctor, and he'd have to pump you out.
Davy, I couldn't do that.
Wait a minute. It could be sleeping pills, or...
Yes, but...
I have some of those. It wouldn't hurt at all. Oh, look, all you'd have to do would be to take a couple. Nothing to really hurt.
Oh.
You could write to your mother, you see. Tell her what you're going to do, but that I don't know about it, see. You could say you were going to swallow a bottle of pills, but in actual fact, you only take a few. Then, when your mother shows up here...
It scares me, Davy. The whole thing scares me.
I promise you, Kitten, nothing will go wrong. And your mother will know you love me. You do love me, don't you, Bonnie?
Oh, I do. I do.
Bonnie sat down that same afternoon and composed a letter to her mother... with Davy's assistance. It was brief, emotional, and final. Davy's editing gave it a tone of melancholy forgiveness. He grinned as he licked the seal and raced to the mailbox. They waited until the next afternoon before putting their plan into action.
Ring. It may be her. She may have received the letter, and now she's calling you. Leave it ring.
Okay. This is it. Do you have the file?
Yes. Here.
Look, you better do all this yourself to take out three, okay? No, better make it four.
Davy, are you sure it'll be all right?
Of course it will. Look, it takes at least 10 to hurt you, and even then it wouldn't do you a lot of harm. Besides, I'll get a doctor over as soon as possible. Trust me, Kitten.
I trust you, Davy.
Wait a moment. Here, water.
Davy?
Yes, Kitten.
She took the pills, swallowing them one at a time. It was almost half an hour before she felt as much as drowsy. He suggested that she went to lie down in the bedroom. She did this. She was asleep 10 minutes later. He called her name, but she didn't waken. Groceries at the store. He tiptoed to Bonnie's bedroom and called her. She did not stir. He was about to call Mrs. Daniels, having decided to change the plan a little, to call her urgently to come over instead, when...
Where is she? Where's my dog?
Well, Bonnie, why, she's lying down sleeping, I guess. I just got in a couple of minutes ago. Just a minute. What is this?
That's what this is all about. Take your dirty little hands off me.
Oh, brother, look at her. It worked. She's out of her mind. Now there's... She can't be dead. No, I'll get a doctor. Drunk her to this. It's your fault. If you'd let her alone.
Me and you. She did this because of you.
She isn't dead. She can't be dead. Bonnie, wake up. Wake up, kitten. It's all right. Everything's all right. It's all right, kitten. Please. Oh, for Pete's sake, you
gotta
wake up. Bonnie, wake up. She can't be dead. There weren't many pills in that bottle. She couldn't have taken many.
She wouldn't need much. Not with Bonnie's heart. It wouldn't take much.
What are you talking about?
She's had rheumatic fever when she was 30. Her heart's been weak ever since.
Bonnie. Please, Bonnie. Bonnie, kitten, wake up, please. It's okay, Bonnie. Bonnie, wake up.
Mr. Snowden, would you kindly attend a meeting in the office of my attorneys, Hallman and Wilcox, 70 Wall Street, at 10:30 a.m., April the 3rd?
Were they meaning to do him harm? What could they do? Concerned about his making a claim against Bonnie's estate? He had already covered the question. Hellinger and Dowles had assured him that he had no rights to any part of the girl's estate. What then?
What then?
What? No, Mrs. Daniels is in my office waiting for you.
Am I being sued?
Sued? Of course not.
Come in, Mr. Snowden. This won't take very long. I wonder if you're curious about my daughter's estate. In case she didn't know, her inheritance from my late husband wasn't due until she was 21. Since her death, it automatically reverts to me. So, you see, there's nothing you could possibly expect.
I didn't expect anything.
Very kind of you, I'm sure. However, Mr. Snowden, the fact that you did marry Bonnie imposes a certain amount of obligation on me. You are my son-in-law, whether I enjoy the fact or not. As it happens, I don't. But as it also happens, I feel that it's necessary to make some kind of settlement in regard to your welfare.
I don't understand.
I'm sure Mrs. Daniels...
Shut up, Walter.
...very generous.
Tell him myself. Mr. Snowden, you seem very fond of that old house of ours. It was once valued at a great deal of money, but I doubt that it's worth more than a few thousand today. Anyway, it's yours. Mr. Snowden, you have complete possession of the land, the house, and everything in it.
Everything? You really mean everything?
Of course. Mr. Hallman will see to the formalities. I merely wanted to let you know.
Gee, Mrs. Daniels...
Thank me. I can stand anything from you except thanks. I sincerely hope, Mr. Snowden, that we never meet again.
Norman, let's take care of all the details.
Could I just ask one question? When Mrs. Daniels said I could have everything, well, there are certain places in the house, I mean, locked doors, rooms and that. Am I entitled
to all? Of course, Mr. Snowden, everything. I'll see you get a full set of keys for every lock. Now, shall we get down to business?
Came the day when Davy drove out to look at his estate. A cursory inspection of the lower floors
and then the climb to the fourth. He was winded by the time he reached the door. He was excited, too. There might, of course, be nothing of value in the room, no treasure, no hidden cache of jewels. But there might just be something of value, he reasoned. There was, of course, only one way to find out. To learn the secret behind the locked door. Ah, success. He stepped inside. The house was a sphinx. And like a sphinx, it was silent. But now, the silence was broken.
You lied to him. You knew perfectly well what you were doing when you deeded the house to Snowden.
I knew. You going to give me away, Walter? You could call that place Lieutenant back, you know.
Of course I'm not going to give you away. But, well, there's such a thing as morality.
I knew. I knew there was nothing behind that door except rotten floorboards. I used to argue with my husband about it. I used to say we ought to have the floor repaired, that someone might fall through that terrible overhang and be dashed to pieces on the driveway. But he was a strangely miserly man. So we just locked up the room and forgot it. It's an old, gloomy house, Walter. But sometimes I really think it wasn't so bad.
Beyond Midnight is presented every Friday night at 9:30 by Biotex, the new soak and pre-wash powder. The program is adapted for broadcasting and produced by Michael McCabe.
That's the horror for this Saturday. I'll be back Wednesday with another horror replay. RelicRadio.com will bring you more old-time radio every day of the week, though. And don't forget to stop by ShopRelicRadio.com. where you can now find the first 12 episodes of The Horror for a low, low price and an easy download. No waiting for the mail, no shipping costs. That's at shoprelicradio.com. If you'd like to email me, the email address is relicradio@gmail.com. That's going to do it for our show today. I'll be back next Saturday with another episode of The Horror.